ones that have been on the screen. We are hosting an afternoon tea at our Coles Side Centre on the 19th of September between 1 and 3, to which all are most welcome. Tickets are £4 each. Ta-da-da. Example of. And Jan will have them. So I'm going to pass them back now, because if I don't, I'll end up putting them in my pocket and walking out with them, which is not helpful. Thank you. So that's the 19th, 1 to 3 up at the Coles Side. Be great to see as many folk there as possible. The only other notice that I'm aware of is that there are certain moments in life which require to be marked and to be celebrated, even if it embarrasses you. So without further ado, we wish Katie and Alistair most happy celebrations and warmest regards on their 40th wedding anniversary, which is today. I believe your medal's in the post, Katie. Is that we are slightly ahead of you, but we'll not give away numbers. But it's lovely to have so many folk with us this morning. Some of our students who are back, great to see you. Lovely to be to have you here with us. And of course, there's always ways to get involved if you want. That's open to anybody, because we're still looking for people to get involved with helping with the sound system. We can always do with extra voices. If people want to do prayers and readings, we would be most happy to welcome you into the throng. The more folk that volunteer, the less you need to do it. There's logic in the madness somewhere. Let's just begin our morning's worship in a moment's prayer. Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you for this day, for another day with you, for another day with each other. In this place and in our gathering, may your Spirit be present, challenging us, inspiring us, strengthening us, comforting us, granting us all that we need. And as we lift our voices in praise, as we lift our hearts in prayer, receive them, we pray, as you receive our offerings to build your kingdom here and in the world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have our first act of worship. Come, people of the risen King. I don't think I know this one, but we'll catch up.
We'll be singing two songs back to back, so if you're able to stand for both of them. This is our call to worship. Come, people of the risen King, who delight to bring him praise. Come all and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace on this lovely morning. Let's stand if you're able.
Come, people of the risen King, who delight to bring him praise. Come all and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. From the shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to him. Where steady arms of mercy reach to gather children in. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. From those whose joy is morning sun, and those weeping through the night, those who tell of battles won, and those struggling in the fight. For his perfect love will never change, and his mercies never cease. But follow us through all our days with a certain hope of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ. Over all the world his people sing, shore to shore we hear them call. The truth that cries through every age, our God is all in all. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice!
We'll be thinking today of God as our refuge and strength in times of trouble, and these surely are troubled times indeed. So we're going to sing Everyone Needs Compassion. And
everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
So our theme today might seem a little on the heavy side. I hope it's not too heavy, because we're dealing with the subject of afflictions. What is afflictions? Well, we'll discover that shortly. We can think that life should always be easy, should always be full of sunshine and flowers and nice little puppies or kittens, depending on your preference, and as many sweeties as you like, and everything will be fine. That's not the reality of our lives. And whether we find it easy to accept or not, we all face times of affliction. Now, affliction is something by degrees. If a man gets a cold, the world is coming to an end. Okay? If a woman gets the flu, they struggle on and everything's fine. So we do recognize that the impact that it has on someone's life varies depending on them, their experience, and all the rest of it. But this typical example within Scripture is Job, a guy who had everything going for him. Business was booming, he was expanding, he had money falling out the back of his pocket and he wouldn't even notice, he was so wealthy. More than that, he had this huge family that kept getting bigger and bigger, and he still enjoyed it. Think, how is that possible? Our grandchildren exhaust me. If there was more of them, it'd be even worse. But anyway, Job delighted in his family. And then Satan, or the Satan, goes to God and says, see your man Job. He only does that because you're good to him. He only praises you because you bless him. He only rejoices in you because you give him every good thing that there is going. If you take that away, he'll stop. And God says, well, try it and see. So his business fails, keeps praising. Family are all killed. He keeps praising. He's afflicted with sores and ends up sitting on a dung heap, scraping them with shards of pottery. Delightful image. And he's struggling, but he won't denounce God. And he gets these pals that come and speak with him. I'm not going to try and pronounce their name because I struggle with it. And two of them are like the kind of friends you don't want in a crisis because they're a pure nightmare. One's a wee bit harsh, but he's a bit more on target. But he will not curse God and die. He will stick through whatever season this is. He will stay with his God and trust that God will honor him. So he sticks the course. Not only does God restore him, his health, his well-being, he restores his fortune to even greater than he had before, and an even bigger family than it had before. So, it's an example. It's a story. But where do we sit on that parallel? Is everything good? Are we hitting a bit of trouble? And we're right down in the valley of affliction. That's our thoughts for today. That's where we're going to place ourselves. I hope it will not be too dark and dismal. It's not my intention to have you come in with happy faces and go out going, oh, that's not my intention. But I think there are things that we need to seriously reflect on to get the balance to our faith and our life in God. And no matter what, whether we are in golden days or stormy times, God is sovereign over all. He is with you. He stands for you. He stands beside you. And he will never, never abandon you. We're going to worship again, I believe.
We're going to sing from Psalm 23, and echoing what Stuart just said, And though I walk the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one, for you are with me, and your rod and staff are the comfort I need to know. If you know the descant for this, and you'll hear Ursula playing it, please sing the descant on I Will Trust. So the Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. Stand to sing.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. I will trust in you, and I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. He guides my ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on his pure delights, and I will trust in you alone. And I will trust in you. Your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. And though I walk the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one, for you are with me, and your rod and staff are the comfort I need to know. And I will trust in you.
I will trust in you.
And I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home.
Stuart is going to share with us our reading from Scripture today, and as I said in this series, it's from the Psalms, and today it's Psalm 31. Thank you.
So reading this morning, Psalm 31, starting at verse 1. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not given me into the hands of the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish, and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors, and an object of dread to my closest friends. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I am forgotten as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery, for I hear many whispering, terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, for those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, Lord, for I've cried out to you. But let the wicked be put to shame and be silent in the realm of the dead. Let their lying lips be silenced, for with pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous. How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence, you hide from them all human intrigues. You keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed me the wonders of his love when I was in a city under siege. In my alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Now hand back to the worship group.
Our next song is Clinging to Jesus in Times of Trouble. He will hold me fast.
I fear my faith will fail. Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. My dreams are his delight. Christ will hold me fast. Precious in his holy sight. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last, but by him at such a cost, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. For my life he bled and died. Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Raised with him to endless life. He will hold me fast. Till our faith is turned to sight when he comes at last. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast.
So in our continuing thoughts about those moments in our lives, those seasons and times in our life when God's face seems to be hidden from us, we turn from dark days that we thought about last week to afflictions, and we need a bit more definition before we start. Whereas dark days focuses more on the emotional, psychological issues, afflictions focuses more on the physical ailments and chronic conditions and even terminal illnesses. In the Old Testament, and generally within the Bible, we read quite often about people blaming illnesses and medical conditions on sin, and even the sin of previous generations. Job is an example. His pal said, "What have you done wrong?" There's a friend for you. "What have you done wrong?" And the Hebrew mind didn't look for secondary causes, but always looked to the first cause, God. Everything flowed from him for a purpose. But as our modern medical knowledge has increased and become more sophisticated, we understand more and more about illnesses and diseases. We know that they are not a punishment from God. We know that they are not these biblical signs from God pushed down on people. So how do we reconcile ourselves with a God who describes himself as the one who heals? He said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." So within a world where we know and experience the reality of illness and chronic condition amongst the whole population, whether they are faithful or not, whether they are followers of God or not, what do we make of this? In the story of Job, we have the man who has everything and more beside. He was faithful. Satan sought to prove that God was only faithful because of what Job did. And God's blessing would be removed. And how would he cope with that when he lost everything? Having proved his steadfastness in spite of all that he was suffering, it was all restored to him. The fairy tale ending. Though at times he almost gave up, he was close to just giving in. But Elihu says to him, "But those who suffer, he delivers in their suffering. He speaks to them in their affliction." Can God really speak to us in our afflictions? What does God know about suffering? This great being that is beyond our comprehension, what does he know about suffering? What about when the cup of suffering is not taken away from our lives? What then? What does our faith say to us? Can God really speak to us in our afflictions? In the face of serious illness or chronic conditions, there is an understandable temptation to completely focus on ourselves, on our needs. Our world gets smaller and smaller, diminishes and shrinks to the size of us. David, who knew the real heights and lows of life, understood this. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. One probably well-known name to you would be Joni Erickson. Became a quadriplegic as a teenager in a diving accident and had every reason to despair and to give up. The other name you might not be so familiar with, Daniel James, young man paralyzed in a rugby training session. He came to the conclusion that his life was over. This was it. He had been so active, so physical, and now with that injury, completely paralyzed, what was left for him? His world shrunk and got very small. And eventually he went overseas and ended his life. Joni continued her ministry of God's word to people with disabilities. Her world actually got bigger. One could hear nothing through the events of their life. The other heard a call to ministry. And I'm making no judgment about what Daniel's decision was or what actions he took. I just comment on the facts of it. One looked inward and saw no future, no hope. The other looked outward and heard God speak. So in her affliction, God spoke to her. With any chronic, long-term, and even terminal condition, there is the possibility to find purpose and meaning from God. See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested or proven you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do this. So even in the face of afflictions, God has not departed from us. He is with us. Paul said, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. I, for one, am not particularly patient at the best of times, and in the worst of times, even less so. And I struggle with that. Paul puts these three states, joyful, patient, and faithful, all in the same sentence. He had an awareness that affliction would come and visit the faithful even if they were only in the form of persecution. They would face times of affliction. But what does God know of suffering? From our reading, the psalmist wrote in 31 verse 7, I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction. You knew, you understood my anguish, the anguish of my soul. And again in Psalm 107, but he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. So how do we know that God knows what suffering is like? We've got Father, Son, and Spirit, and we look to the Son. Jesus knows suffering. He knows pain. He knows death itself. And in his rising, we are very easily make that connection that he broke its power, he released us from it. But what he also did was he took all of that experience of suffering, of pain, and even of death, and took it right back into the very being of God himself. Within God, there is a knowledge, a first-hand experience, pain, suffering, and death. His union with the Father and the Spirit means that God, in the fullness of his being, knows what anguish is. It's not some distant, unfeeling, unmoved God that we reach out to, but one who has gone before us, fully knows our trouble, the worries that we have about whatever condition that we may experience. Who knows the strain that treatment can bring? What future prognosis might mean and the burden that is upon our lives. There is nothing we cannot express to him, nothing that would separate him from us. We can pour out the raw anguish of our souls, and God just opens his arms and says, tell me, tell me. Don't put on the brave face. You don't need to, because I know your heart. Don't try and polish it off with fine words. Remember, my spirit cries out. When you run out of words in prayer, my spirit cries out and I hear you, because I know you completely. We have that offer just to go bleh to God. And he takes that bleh and makes sense of it in who we are and in him. And for some, the affliction might be temporary, weeks, months, years, but there might be an end to it. For others, that cup of suffering may not be taken from their lives. And it would be nice to think that all we need to do is ask and everything will be fine, everything will be all right, that our faith will protect us from the pain of the world. But our faith is not a talisman that works in that way. It's not some good luck charm. Jesus in Gethsemane asked that the cup of suffering be taken away from him. But overall, that was not done. That was not God's will. And so he embraced it. But he embraced it with the confidence that his Father was with him and that would equip him to deal with it. We too have that assurance that even if whatever afflicts our lives, even if that's not going to go away, we are not less because of it. God stands with us. He stands within us. He lifts us up. So perhaps one approach of facing times of affliction, like Joni, is to lift our eyes up to God and look for his face. Because in reality, it is not hidden if we are looking in the right direction. Perhaps the question we need to ask God is not why me, why this, but rather how can I glorify you in my life through this, in spite of this? In doing so, we become beacons of glory amongst the darkened people, shining like stars. No, the condition might not go away. No, we might not get better. But we will know that God is with us and that in the life to come, we will be forever whole and complete. Over the course of the years of my ministry, I have had the privilege, and I know it sounds a bit weird, but it is a privilege to walk alongside those who are afflicted with many, many things, and some really serious and terminal things. And those who hold to God, they humble me because I feel that their faith is stronger than mine. I feel that their faithfulness, their steadfastness, is more resolute than mine. And I'll look at them and think, I don't know if I could face and live with what you're going through. But they know within themselves that God is with them. God has not abandoned them. God is their strong tower. God is their refuge. and within our own company, our own family, our own congregation. There are different people going through different things and at different stages. And the easy thing is the false face. How are you? Oh, fine. Because that's really what we want to hear. We don't want to hear the hard news. We don't want to actually get too close because we don't want to upset them. We don't want to kind of feel that we're somehow intruding. And we struggle with how to relate. I would say you just listen. Honestly listen. Open your heart as well as your arms and listen. I know these reflections don't answer the question of affliction. But I do hope you see that it's okay to talk about it and to ask. I am fully aware that these words are too few and too general to speak to specific situations and circumstances that some may be facing. All I have, perhaps inadequately, tried to do is encourage you to look up and not in. That whatever the days, months, years ahead bring, the Lord has your hand and he will walk with you every single step of the way. There comes the moment for us all when we step across the threshold from this life to a new land, a new day, a new dawn that never ends. And I know too it's hard for a church to express to someone going through such times what they really want to say. Too readily we focus on the solution. We do the bloke thing. Have you tried this? Have you done that? We try and fix the problem. We try and sort it. We can't. We all need to learn and be reminded that listening and loving and walking with someone is to make Christ present with them. Making Christ present with them. So don't turn away because you don't know what to say. Say nothing. Open your arms, open your heart and love them as God would love them. Pray for them as Christ would pray for them, as he intercedes for each one of us each moment of the day. To walk with them as the Spirit walks with them. And we can ease that journey. We can take away the isolation and the solitude that afflictions impose on people. And we can bring the warmth of love and companionship and being a family. So my friends, we will all walk through hard days and dark days. And some of us are called to walk through times of affliction. We are never asked to walk alone. Please, encourage one another. Love one another. And let's build this place a sanctuary for any and everyone, no matter where they are in their life. Can we just take a moment in prayer? Father God, there are times when words are inadequate, and even when we try and use so many, they're never enough. So into this moment, we simply ask you to speak into our hearts your word of assurance, and a word of promise, and a word of hope. For all of our brothers and sisters in this place, may they know the strong arms of God around them. May they know the love of those who are with them. This we ask in Jesus' name.